welcome back.
Did you win your Hearthstone game?
I did. Just as predicted, I won my game.
Very good.
Because I obliterated his board, and then he did what every fucking loser does, is not quit, just wait for the turn to be over, and then get destroyed.
But if he quit, is that just like resigning? Or if he quits, it's the same type of penalty if he just leaves the room?
Whether you, I mean, he still loses if he quits the room.
Right. I didn't know if you bailed, did you not get the same, like, loss put on your record?
Oh, it's still the same. It's still the same.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But you know, you need to do, you need to do harakiri. You know what I mean? Like, if you know you're gonna lose, just do harakiri and just quit. Just
yeah,
bow
it
out.
It'd save you more time.
Yeah. Just bow out. Just say, well played and press the quit button.
Yeah,
you're
I just
a loser.
Didn't know, like, if somebody just bailed, they knew it was coming up, and instead of hitting the quit button, they just left the room, do they get, like, 1.5 losses compared to 1 loss?
Oh, no. A loss is a loss.
Oh, okay.
Just like a win is a win.
Okay. I just hate when people just bail, and they think it's not going to hurt them. It's like, yeah, you should be... They put a resign button there for a reason in games.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for when you're a loser and get destroyed.
Yes, you clicked all the right buttons. You're right. You're the king.
Anyways, what's up, man? I haven't talked to you in like 3 years.
I know. It feels like a long, long time,
right?
Man.
It does.
I know.
What have you been up to? I see you're reading a lot of Secret Empire.
I am. I'm doing that. Not as we speak, but currently that's what I'm reading.
Mm,
yeah,
very
it's
nice.
A good one.
That's good.
I don't understand all the negative hoopla when that originally was coming out, but hey, what can I say? I guess when you step back and you look at it from a historical perspective like I am instead of issue to issue, you see it with a broader lens.
So you're trying to tell me that people were angry about a comic book?
Exactly.
Never.
At least from what I remember.
You know, I wonder, were people that way, like, in the 50s when they were reading comics? Were they like, oh, I hate this comic, I'm going to rip it up. I'm going to take a knife and stab it.
But also, those comics, didn't they always have to be, like, wrapped up that issue?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so it's never like, which is weird because there were serials that always were like continuations, and yet a comic book has to be wrapped up. You can't leave the hero tied to the train tracks. It has to be wrapped up.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody listening was around in the 50s that can tell me. By all means, let me know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Do we have listeners that old? I can't remember.
Sure, why not?
I'm sure we do.
I mean, it's just strange because everyone was like pissing all over the Hydra Captain America, Nick Spencer, and oh, he's writing this horrible thing, blah, blah. And I read a lot of Nick Spencer in the prelude to Secret Empire, as well as now the event. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand the big hoop. At least for me, it's like, I don't even get when all of a sudden, like, Captain America became Hydra. Like, I get it's supposed to elicit a reaction, but not like all this, like, drama and crying from fans. Ay, ay, ay. You know he's going to go right back, right, guys? You know, he died and he came back, for Christ's sake. Like, you know he's good. It's comic book, guys. Ugh,
I'm pretty sure most people that complain about this kind of stuff in comic books have never really read a comic book.
I think these people are way too wrapped up in continuity.
yeah, you might be right.
Batman's parents, you know, they're not going to come back. Same with Uncle Ben and Gwen State. Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Like, everyone comes.
Uh-oh. Nick has been lost to the ether. What has happened to Nick? It's okay. I am here to continue the conversation. Because what Nick was trying to say is, what is wrong with people? We don't understand. We wish we knew, but we don't. But you know what? Comics. That's what it's about. Comics. Don't we all love comics? I love comics. Nick loves comics. You're listening to this podcast because every once in a while we talk comics. Actually, I don't know why you listen to this podcast, to be honest with you. I really don't know. Nick and I wonder this every time we sit down to record this magical thing that we like to call the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Oh, welcome back. I was just telling the people that this is the Nerdy Legion with Nick Wetmore and explaining to them how we don't care that people hate comics because we love comics and that's all that matters.
That's true. It is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just nice to see it from a different perspective. Because man, if I was a Wednesday warrior, I never care. Like the only thing that it did when Captain America becomes Hydra. The only thing that did to me when I was in my Wednesday warrior slot, that was just like, oh man, I can't wait to see in 30 days. This is going to be at the top of my pile.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Because the pile was always that for me. I mean, sorry, Rob Krieger, but it wasn't alphabetical. It could have been, but it wasn't. It was always what am I most excited to read first, and then it goes down priority wise.
Well, Rob only reads 7 out of 10 books.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's very true.
We have it on record. I like Secret Empire. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's fun so far.
I liked it. I think, I don't want to spoil it for you, but I think I'm not going to spoil the story itself, but I think some of the books are like milking that stuff a little too long because they're still talking about it in some of the books. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Like, it's showing up in Captain America. It's like the central premise in Superior Spider-Man. Is that what it's called?
Sure. Maybe.
Sure. You know, the Doc Ock Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Superior Doc Ock.
Superior Octopus, that's what it's called.
There we go.
Yeah, Superior Octopus. And, it's fine.
My only question about Secret Empire, from the time that Cap said, and maybe I was sleepy and they did spell it out, but I just sort of missed it. But from the time Cap gets revealed as Hail Hydra to issue one, did they just push forward the timeline? Like years?
You'll find out.
Okay. Cause I feel like all this stuff's happening and it's like, this couldn't have all happened in like a matter of weeks. What the hell's going on here?
Why not? It's comics.
I guess, but just tell me like, hey, 5 years later, Hydra's been in power for 5 years. That's all you need to tell me?
Yeah, I guess. You'll find out though.
All right.
You'll find out. I'm curious to know how you feel about it when you get closer to the end. Cause there's some weird stuff that happens. I'm like, all right, I'll go with it.
Hey, just even with Punisher now being revealed as the Hydra symbol on his chest instead of the skull, even that I was like, all right, now what the hell happened? But it's still good. It's interesting. And the premise, I think, is fantastic. Force field around the Earth, force field around New York. Yeah, I was like, that's really cool.
It's like Battle World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that? I love Secret Wars. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
So bring it on.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good, man. I'm glad you're enjoying that.
Sure I am.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. Is that all you're reading?
Yes. I wrapped up that Flash Rogues Gallery Captain Cold, and then I went right into this. So.
Nice.
That's it.
That's good, man.
Yeah, what about you? What are you up to? What are you reading?
I am not doing a whole lot of reading. In fact, I haven't even read any comics from this past week yet.
Dang.
Is that true? No, I read the Aftershock books because we already recorded that podcast. But aside from that, I haven't read anything. I've been writing. Sparky's been pushing me to write, so I've been trying to spend more time writing. Matter of fact, last night I had to do a little research yesterday, and I reread The Call of Cthulhu, so that was fun.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But say what you look. Lovecraft was kind of a douchebag, but sure. But those books are great, man.
Still hold up pretty well.
Oh yeah,
cool.
Yeah. It was pretty funny too. I was perusing something. I was looking for something, and I found some video about Bird Box, that Netflix movie with Sandra Bullock.
Bullock. Yep.
And it was, I can't remember what the premise of the video was. Oh, it was something sure. like what are the monsters in Bird Box? You never see the monsters. But there is a character that shows some like pictures that he drew when he saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I first saw the thing, I was like, oh, it's fucking, you know, Cthulhu and what's the one with the weird name, like Ibn God or something, whatever his name is. The guy mm-hmm. with the elephant nose. And that's where they went off, and it went off into this whole thing about how the book, not the movie adaptation, but the book is a lot closer to the stuff that Lovecraft was doing. And I was like, well, shit, now I gotta fucking reread Lovecraft because it's been forever.
Well, and that's all right.
So I did. Yeah, yeah. Call of Cthulhu's great. It might be my favorite one.
Any excuse to reread a classic's always good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, I tweeted a quote from Call of Cthulhu, the opening line of Call of Cthulhu, and just to see like who would say something.
Ooh, nice.
Right, because like, I mean, I've been doing comic podcasts for a long time, right? So the majority of people that follow me on Twitter are people that read comics.
Sure.
But I mean, we don't all just read comics, right? We have a ton of different interests.
Yes.
And I was like, I wonder if there's any Lovecraft fans. So I tweeted at the line, you know, the most merciful thing in the world. I can't remember the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And there were like 8 or 9 people that liked it. And I was like, okay, I know who the Cthulhu fans are.
My legion.
Maybe I could start doing a Cthulhu podcast. No, I'm not doing that. but that was fun.
Nice.
That was fun.
I watched today. I watched a documentary on on The Little Prince.
Oh wow, really?
That French. Well,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Supposedly a children's book, but a book for all ages, a classic, if you will.
It is a classic.
Yep.
I remember reading that. When did I first read that? I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think I read it about every 10 years.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So
that's good, man. Was it on Hulu? Netflix?
Netflix.
Netflix. What's it called?
Yeah, it's... Sheesh.
Oh, that's a great title.
I wish you wouldn't have asked, because I don't recall.
Mm.
Darn it. But yeah, it's a documentary on the little prince and the life of the author, which was interesting.
Uh-huh.
And how it's still being read in, like, classes today, which is cool.
How about Hi. Invisible Essence, The Little Prince?
Ah, there you go. Okay. Yes.
Interesting. I didn't know this was a thing.
I watched that today, and yesterday I watched the documentary You'll Love Me When I'm Dead, revolving around, or it's on Netflix too. It's revolving around Orson Welles' film that was never released, and of course then Netflix gets it and releases the Orson Welles film.
Really?
But it was pretty interesting. As a documentary, it was a slice of history. It was pretty interesting. So I actually put that movie into my queue, and I think watching it without the knowledge of the documentary would not be a good way to watch that film. Because it sounds like a real acid cocaine trip, but it also stars, okay, now dig this. It stars Peter Bogdanovich, which is no surprise. They were like best friends.
Mm-hmm.
John Huston, no surprise, Orson Welles and him were best friends. But still, to see John Huston, holy Christ, that's awesome. As well as somebody who you might remember, one impressionist named Rich Little.
Oh.
Which is completely messed up. Like, what? Who does not belong in this cast? But it was fascinating because I don't know if we've talked about this, but one of my favorite actors of all time, easily top 10, is Danny Huston, his son.
Oh, okay.
And I fucking love him. And he's one of the talking heads in it, as well as Peter Bogdanovich now, which is
interesting.
It is a great slice of history. I'm telling you, it was fascinating to watch and then to see. You forget how awesome Orson Welles is. Sure, people can say, you know, oh, Citizen Kane, give me a break. Not the best film ever.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, well, if it isn't, then what is? Like, this is coming from critics that you can't name a top 5 and list out 10 films. This is like, no, no, no. We want your top 10, not honorable mention, so narrow this shit down, go.
Hmm.
And they show scenes, and a lot of the scenes are not from Citizen Kane, but they're from, like, Amberson's, and they're from, like, The Third Man. And just to see some of the stuff he was doing with, like, mirrors and reflections, and then he also did it in this unreleased film. But they also showed in context that he was really influenced by, like, French New Wave and, like, Italian surrealist movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show, like, clips of Fellini and Truffaut. And it's like, okay, this sounds real pretentious, but it's in a documentary. I love when it's like, don't tell me that this is like dot, dot, dot. Like, show me examples of here's Orson Welles' film. Here's what French New Wave's doing.
Mm.
I'm not going to sit there with a laser pointer and be like, look, it looks the same because of this, this, and this. But just by showing very similar scenes, it's like, holy shit. Like, it's interesting that he influenced French New Wave. And then 20 years later, you get French New Wave. And then 10 years from that, they're influencing him. It's just like, it sent me down an Orson Welles rabbit hole, which was fascinating.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I cannot watch this because it is rated a 7 out of 10.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Netflix rating doesn't have 7?
No, this is on Screen Crush.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, well, hey, trust me, people, it's not going to turn you into loving Orson Welles if you have no opinion on Orson Welles. There is some, like I said, it is a trippy, cocaine-laden film that's just... like, what the hell is this about? Where is he going with this?
Ah, I like those kind of films, though.
To be honest with you, I was like, God, I hope they never, because how it took him, I thought it was like 15 years to make this film because he kept losing funding and backing because he wasn't, at that point in his career, he wasn't being supported by Hollywood. So he had to reach out to other, like, investments.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, one of his French investment companies, they were being funded by the brother of the Shah of Iran. And then when the Ayatollah took down the Shah, all the funding dried up. And then the French government shut down his film and held on to the completed film and just, like, vaulted it.
Man, this is, like, really late then.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. It was his last film before he passed away.
So...
it was like 82.
Okay, I was going to say, because that Iran thing was what, like 78, 79?
Yeah, he was filming this. I think he started in like 72.
Holy
and it
Jesus.
Went till, I think it, I want to say it went till like 79, 81, something
Jesus
like that.
Jesus Christ.
But he just kept losing backers. Like, he had this one backer, and then this guy just flaked out, pulled out his money. And then the cameraman would go weeks without work. So all of a sudden he started to do camera work for the porn industry and not under his own name, under like a pseudonym, because with the porn industry, you can get in, get out, you know, at a week's notice. So
sure.
if Orson Welles calls and says, I need you there on Wednesday, he could drop everything and go.
Right.
To hear how just Hollywood turned their back on him, and he just, when you see some of the scenes in this film, it's still fascinating because he's shooting, and it's in color, but he's shooting like this glass building, and he's shooting the reflection of a woman walking, and then you see the actual guy coming from the left, this reflection of a woman coming from the right, and then all of a sudden the reflection point ends, like, obviously the glass like comes up at a different angle and her reflection walks right through him.
Hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
How he could line that shit up in his head and be able to tell a story, but still like even people talking about it today, like Rich Little was talking about it. So they're talking, you know, current interviews, even they were like, you were told not to ask him what this film's about. You do not question Orson Welles. You're just going along for the ride, but off camera, he would be telling you, there's midgets dancing on the ceiling. Look up. There's midgets. Oh, no, no, no. We're going to go to Peru and insert that scene, but that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich Little's just like, okay, I looked up and I reacted, but after a while, you realize, does he really know what he's not doing, but where he's going with this? And it was really, it was very, very interesting because it was down a freaking rat. Like you felt like you were going down someone's madness. It was cool. It was really, really neat.
It's, that reminds me a lot of like Kubrick, right?
Yeah. Kubrick or, was kind of weird like that. Francis Ford Coppola with, what was it? What was the Vietnam film that he did?
Oh, Apocalypse Now.
I wanted to say Age of Apocalypse. That was close.
Yeah, Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Don't watch that on drugs. Yikes.
No. Or watch the documentary Heart of Darkness.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
That's good. I had to read that book in school.
Ah, cocaine.
Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, Joseph Conrad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was a very good one.
Don't watch the movie and think that you're reading Heart of Darkness.
No, not at all.
Very different.
Very different. Very different. That's, dang, now I got to put this on my list.
You have to be in the right mind frame. Trust me on that. Like Liz came down, she was upstairs for a while. She came down and I was probably 25 minutes in. And I was, after about 10 minutes, I'm like, there's no way she can pick up this film. and come along on the journey with me. So I'm just like, all right, let's stop this and watch something else. Okay.
So, all right. So is this just like, he couldn't finish this because of the funding or is it because he was Orson Welles? Like, I know the funding is an issue.
No, the reason it took so long was he kept losing backers, losing funding.
Okay.
But everybody still had the Orson Welles mystique. So he could always haggle money away from people,
yeah.
Or he would go on and do guest star appearances on The Love Boat, or he would do, what was it, Molson Sparkling Champagne, remember when he did those?
Yeah.
Like he, and all that money would just be funneled into like, great, now we have three more weeks of filming, and he would gather up the troops and film three more weeks.
Huh.
And it was really the Iran takeover with the Ayatollah, that's where, and it only lasted, I mean, that part of the movie is maybe 3 minutes long, but just for him to have the film finished, not edited, but everything shot, and then because the Ayatollah took over, the brother of the Shah's money completely dried up, and the backing company was a French backing company, well, that movie just went into a vault, and Orson Welles went to France to like partition that a film is owned by the filmmaker, and he was trying to like plead with the French government to release this film so he could edit it, score it, and the French government came back and was like, no, the person that owns that film is the producers, and your producers are holding this film, so you can't have it.
Oh wow.
So I think it's just like the JFK shooting, like I think if you wait a certain amount of time,
yeah,
then that stuff will get released. And I think that's when Netflix swooped in and bought it, because right after that, because I was like, dang, I sort of want to see it, but I think it's cool that it's never been released. And even the movie goes through like four other of his films that have never been released. And they show scenes from it. And even one of them was like, yes, this film is completely done, except Welles never went back and had the principal actors come back to like a sound studio and loop their voices. So like it's available, but like the quality of everyone's voice and all the sound effects and like music was never put in.
Right.
So all of a sudden I'm watching the end credits and I'm just fascinated. And Alan Cummings is the like narrator through the entire thing. It's bizarre. But at the very end, up popped something from Netflix, like rate this title. So of course I did. And then it's like coming up next. And then here's the name of the film that this documentary was based on. And I was like, what the hell? And it had the like Netflix exclusive.
Oh wow.
On it. And I was like, what the hell? Like I do want to watch it, but I sort of don't want to watch it. Cause in my head, the documentary built it up, not to be a great, there's no way you're going to be like, this is the next Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
But holy shit, did he do some cool stuff in it.
Huh.
So I do sort of want to see it.
I might need to check that out. The reason I asked is I watched this really cool presentation on TED Talks about what was the exact topic? Man, slow motion multitasking. That's what it was.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
And so the way you described it, I was wondering if like part of the reason it took so long was because of his process. So the two examples that this guy, I can't remember the name of the guy that did the TED Talk, but the two examples he uses is Einstein and Darwin, for slow motion multitasking. Cause you know, like when you talk about multitasking, most people tell you like you need to focus on one task at a time to be most productive, right? Like you can multitask, but in order to be like really productive, you focus on one and then you move to the next one. Whereas like the most famous people aren't like that kind of multitasker. They're slow motion multitaskers. And what that means is they have, many different interests. And I think that's why it's an interesting topic for this, because we were talking earlier about how, you know, people sort of listen to this because they follow me through like comic podcasts, for example. And we used to kind of be a comic podcast. And, but not everyone just reads comics, right? Like everyone has multiple interests. And so, sure. So he's talking about how, hey, like, you know, if you like, what was it with Darwin? It was, he started, being a student of biology and geology, right? And so he's got like a graph, and then he goes to and discovers the finches and starts, you know, working on the origin of species and whatever. But then like while this is happening, he has a kid. So now he becomes interested in like linguistics and psychology. And like all throughout, he's working on these like big papers, right? Like, you know, origin of species, the evolution of man or whatever. But like the final book that he released is called like Study of an Infant at His Desk or something like that. And it was published when his son was like 38. And basically it's a study of like infant psychology that he spent literally 38 years writing. And that's kind of where he talks about the slow motion multitasking, where you can do like big giant projects when you have multiple interests and don't feel like you can't stop one thing and work on the next one. It's probably best to do that, right? And it got me thinking about other stuff, right? Like, I don't know if they do this at your job, but like, you know, we want people to kind of like take a breather, right? Like you work for an hour or whatever, you take like a 5-minute break, just, you know, stand up from your desk or like, you know, go to the water fountain, get something, come back. Cause it helps you like clear your brain a little bit, right? And this is
get away from the screen.
Yeah. Get away from the screen. Do something else, right? Get your brain focused on something else, because sometimes like that's how you get the breakthrough, right? That's how you get the answer to your problem. If you just keep working on the same problem over and over again, that's what your brain is focused on, and you might not find the answer, right? But as soon as you walk off, you may be like, oh yeah, 2 + 2 = 37. Perfect. Let me go back to my desk.
That happens to me all the time when I'm beating my head against the wall with a video game, and then I come back to it the next day and I beat that little section in about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was beating my head against the wall for about 3 hours.
See?
Yep.
Happens all the time. Yeah, especially like puzzle heavy games, right? Cause you're like playing, you get to this section, you're like, how the hell do we get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
God, I was playing, man, I wish I remember the name of this game now. But it's kind of like a real time Myst in a way. You remember Myst?
Oh yeah.
So for the younger crowd, Myst was a really cool, beautiful looking game when did that come out? Like early 90s or was that before?
Yeah, I thought it was before that.
Okay, so
yeah,
maybe sometime in the 80s. Beautiful graphic, even for the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know.
Yeah, it was on CDs.
Yeah, it was on CDs. And you're like walking through landscapes, solving puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was playing. For some reason, I can't play games, Nick, because I just end up going back to playing Hearthstone. But, but so I was playing this one game. And I kept getting stuck, and it's really cool. You're basically investigating this like lost civilization, right? You find these ruins, and kind of like Myst. And so you're going from place to place, and like the each level is kind of like a maze in the way that it's set up. And there's like doors that you have to open, but you have to get keys to open the doors. And then there's like strategically placed like laser cannons that are automated. So like you have to find a way to get past the laser cannons because like one shot and you're dead. And so I get that with this game all the time. Like the first time that I played it, I played like an hour and a half on like the first puzzle.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. But, you know, at the same time, it's not one of those type of games that I play all the time. But, so I quit playing it for like a week and I went back to it and I got it. I was like, boom, first time right through the puzzle. And I was like, well, shit, I should have just taken like a couple of minutes and then come back and play the game. So I'm experiencing this a lot lately because, as I stated earlier, I've been writing. I've been doing a lot of writing. Yep. I wanted to do NaNoWriMo last November and my schedule was shite. And so I didn't get to do a lot of writing, but Sparky messaged me every few days. Hey, how's it going? How's it going? And I feel bad partially, and this is one of my own personal failings, because he already sent me part of his script that he's been working on.
Oh.
But I have not yet sent him the script that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I'll get to the end of a chapter and I'm like, okay, I know exactly where I'm going in the next chapter. So I start the next chapter. And I go and I write the next one. And then I get to like, whatever, we'll just say chapter 6. And I'm like, oh, I should have put this in chapter 2 to, you know, discuss this stuff that I brought up in chapter 6. And so I go back and rewrite aspects of chapter 2 and I keep going with 6. And then I get to 7. I'm like, oh, well, I could have put this in 1 and in 3 because it kind of fits in. And so I find myself like writing more and more of this story. But not wanting to share it because I feel like when I share it, it's not going to make sense unless he's got more information. Does that make sense?
Well, you have to remember it's only version 1.
Well, that's true. That is very true.
Sometimes it's good to get an extra set of eyes on something, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and that's my other thing, right? Like, what if I send it to him and he's like, okay, yeah, chapter 1 makes perfect sense, but like 2, what the F is going on? Right. And then I have to go back and redo chapter 2 and then like change stuff in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 because of the changes I made in 2.
I think you're overthinking it too much.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Sometimes you just need to let that go and let somebody else get in there.
That's the weird thing though, Nick. I mean, you know me. I'm very easygoing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give two shits about shit.
But now you're being like Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I really just need to send it to him and be like, hey, here you go.
Yeah. I'll be your rich little.
Yes. So, I do have an admission to make, Nick.
Ooh, okay. So, an admission of guilt.
Last episode.
Yeah.
I ended the episode with the following statement.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next episode where I will be 14 times more pretentious.
Oh, no.
However, Nick, I think we've gone over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a level of pretentious where when you achieve this level, you just like circle back down to the most minimal possible aspect of pretentiousness. Like, once you get to level 99, you just go, like, down to 0. There is no level 100.
Ah, okay.
You just go down to 0. So.
So you're saying you're at level 0?
I mean, I don't know about that.
Hmm?
I don't know about that. Matter of fact, probably not. However, I have found myself.
Let's not forget that we were just talking about, Italian, cinema and French New Wave. About, 10 minutes ago. So I'm pretty sure we're still firing on all cylinders.
It's true. It's true. But, so, you know, I've been experimenting a lot with food, right? Cause whatever, the whole keto thing, blah, blah, blah. And, I kept experimenting. And all of a sudden I found myself making this dish that was the simplest fucking thing in the world. And that's all I've eaten all week is this one dish.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty crazy.
Do tell.
So, well, So I wanted something quick to make so I could take it to work, right? And so I'm thinking to myself, and I've been experimenting a lot with like timing my meals and like the time between meals, you know, like intermittent fasting and all that stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try OMAD, which is one meal a day.
Oh,
And
sheesh.
yeah. And so I was like, I'm gonna try OMAD. And so I started thinking about it, and I was like, I don't really want to do this because like, what if I don't get enough protein or enough fat or enough like calcium or whatever? And I looked in my refrigerator and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna put this in here, this in here, this in here. And so I basically made a salad. Okay. So it was, it's 3 cups of spinach, 2 cups of kale, 1 cup of, broccoli, a cup of mozzarella cheese, a delicious, delicious salmon fillet, sardines. What else did I put in there? Ranch dressing, olive oil, Celtic salt, which by the way, fucking delicious. You need to get some
Celtic salt.
Celtic salt. It's,
Yeah, you're not at level one of that pretentiousness. Holy shit.
Celtic salt is mined from like someplace in France. I guess that is pretty pretentious. All right,
Oh yeah.
we're gonna up it to level two. Level two
Thank you.
pretentious.
Thank you.
And so just need a little salt, a little pepper, and flax seeds and roasted pumpkin seeds. So I made this meal, and it was this fucking giant ass bowl. Like literally, it had to be like 5 pounds of food, and I was starving. I scarfed it down. And I felt fantastic. So the next day I made it again. And, being the obsessed nerd person that I am, I created a spreadsheet, Nick. I created a spreadsheet because I wanted to make sure that I'm getting all my nutrients. And, so I looked up all kinds of stuff for each ingredient that I put in the salad. So I did like, you know, carbs and protein and fat, but I also did like vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, all that stuff. And then I was like, some of these things have like amino acid content. So I put in like milligrams of amino acids for each thing. And it's a pretty hefty sheet. It goes to like column like AAZ or something. I don't know. It's a lot of columns. And then I did a little formula so I can add up all the stuff. And it is the perfect meal. It has at least 100% of basically every single thing that I need. So all I've eaten all week is this fucking salmon and sardine salad.
I know you've been on a sardine kick.
Yeah. Well, which is weird 'cause I never even wanted to try sardines. I had sardines one time in my life. I thought it was the most disgusting thing ever. But I was in the store, getting some stuff and I can't remember what it was, but I was looking for something and I couldn't find it. And I was like, you know what? Let me just try these sardines. It was sardines and hot sauce. So I got those and I put them in my salad the first day. And it wasn't even hot because of the ranch and all that stuff in it and the cheese. But it tasted so good. And I was like, huh, I didn't think sardines could be good. So the next day when I went to make it, I popped the can open and I took a little nibble of the sardine and I thought it tasted pretty good. Except my wife didn't. My wife gave me the stink eye. I was like, you want to try the salad? It's freaking delicious. And she's like, what's in it? And I told her, she's like, sardines? No thanks. Which doesn't make sense, because like, when we go to restaurants or whatever, and you know, you get a side salad, we both get Caesar salads. And Caesar dressing is made with sardines. I mean, this literally tastes like a Caesar salad. I mean, with a little more bite, you know, because it's got kale and whatever in it. But it basically tastes like that. I just don't understand. She doesn't want to try it. She doesn't want to try it. But that's all I've eaten all week. And I've loved it. And it's super easy. 'Cause I mean all I got to do before I go to bed, I take the salmon fillet and I put it in the refrigerator so it thaws. So the next morning when I wake up, as the salmon is cooking, I chop up everything and I throw it in the bowl. And then when the salmon's done, I chop it up, throw it in, mix it up, put it in a container and go to work.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. It's not good
Sounds
for
good.
everybody else though. I feel kind of bad because like I haven't
Why
cooked all
you got,
week.
do you have some smelly, greasy farts? Is that why it's bad for everyone else? Just asking.
No, n not at all.
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, you're asking for a friend. I'll make sure not to bring sardines to C2E2.
No, I would love them.
Yeah. Well, you might, but I don't know about my roommates at the convention.
That's true.
They might disagree.
That's true.
But so that's what I've been eating. It's very odd. The first day I made it, I didn't even think about it. The second day, I was like, this is just too damn simple.
It's great.
I guess.
You know what I turned my wife on to?
Mm.
Chicken sausage.
Oh, man.
Specifically the breakfast chicken sausage, the maple flavor.
Mm.
She especially, and I have her on these patties that are chicken sausage, which are fantastic calorie-wise. But she's still the king, the ruler of all maple chicken sausage is still the small versions that are at Costco. I think 3 pounds of them for $13 mm-hmm, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're so good.
They are so really good.
I know. I used to have to make them all just for myself, but now she's starting to own herself in. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I do up enough, like, hard-boiled eggs and sausages for this guy right here. And now all of a sudden they're going down quickly.
Oh, man. Yeah, see, it's probably easier for you too, right? Because, I mean, I know she's got some food restrictions or whatever.
For sure.
But it's definitely probably easier for you because it's you and her.
Without a doubt.
Be thankful you don't have kids.
Oh, for sure. There's times when I wish I had them, but yes. Then there are times where it's like, I look at my brother's kids and it's like, how many times is he eating chicken nuggets and like fries or like, oh God.
Right. And that's the thing, because my wife can't cook. So I know that there was at least one meal that was macaroni and cheese.
There was at least
one pizza night.
Sure.
I know for a fact there was a spaghetti night.
But I will say, in that defense, because I don't have kids, you know the last time I had Totino's pizza rolls?
Mm, but I do like those. Give me a,
hell yeah, they're the best garbage. But since I don't have kids, we don't buy that type of crap. Get it out of the house.
Get it out
no
of here.
No way. Oh my God.
I'm waiting on the day when my wife is like, hey, have you heard about keto? Because let me tell you a story. So I'm at work. I don't know what day it was, like Wednesday or Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday. And it doesn't matter. I'm at work and, first she texts me, this picture of a Groupon for flowers. And she's like, you should send me flowers to work. And I was like, I don't think this is how it works. It's just supposed to be a surprise.
And you're like, wait, why don't you just use the same credit card I would use and just mail them to yourself at Valentine's Day and write something really romantic from me. Thank you.
So anyways, it started off with that. And then we're talking about something else. And then she texts me. She's like, you're not going to believe it. I said, what? She's like, I just found out about podcasts. They're fantastic. It's like watching listening to documentaries all day long.
Oh, God.
And I said, you mother effer. I've been making podcasts for 37 years telling you about podcasting. And now you tell me you've discovered podcasting. 6 years after we met. How dare
you? There's some real good, like, NPR type podcasts.
Well, and that was the next thing. I was like, oh, so what are you listening to? And she's like, Serial.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
See, I had almost the same thing happen, and I'm not sure if I told you, when my wife completely randomly on the couch out of the blue says, what's the name of your podcast again? And I think this was coming off of like episode 100, which I was like, don't listen to episode 100. And I'm like, why? And she's like, oh, there's somebody at work that wants to listen. And you know, I thought I would give a listen. You and Martin seem like you guys have a good time. And I was just like, yeah, you could listen to, I was like, okay, what was the last thing I said? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Like she already knows she is a stupid husband. I'm an idiot. But still, like, okay, what did I say? Love you, honey. Yikes.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to watch what we say because 10% of our listeners on Spotify are between 13 and 18.
Oh, geez. Ooh. Teenagers, turn this podcast off. Nelson, turn everyone's podcast off.
Nelson, don't listen.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I thought you were going to say about the women quota. Even that's frightening, but I'm like, oh, that's acceptable because that we're letting people peek within the mind of, you know, our age demographic. I don't think we say anything too crazy off the beaten path, but still, to teenager, aye, aye, aye. No, thank you. What are we offering? High-level Hearthstone stats.
Listen, no. we are educating the youth of America.
I don't want that job.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Donald Trump, get in there.
No, he can't. He can't even read.
I know. I know. Teasing, of course.
Anyways, I don't know how you can swear on the Bible if you never read the Bible. I don't, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But, yeah. Children, welcome. Oh, welcome, children.
God. Oh, man. Why don't we have our own cult? What the hell?
Hey, we can start one.
What is it that, can we have a cult like the, what is it, Nexium?
Nexium, yeah.
Yeah, can we have that cult? Because I always like me some Chloe.
Man, I don't know, dude. Like, every time that people are like, oh yeah, cult Nexium. And I'm like, well, what do they believe in? Like, nobody knows. How is that a cult? Yeah.
Awesome.
It's just like a prostitution ring.
Right. What? Did I say that? But just think of all the tax advantages we could get from that.
Well, I mean, look at Scientology.
But Martin, then we would be hanging out all the time.
That's true.
Think
all
of
right.
That way.
We need you to send 10% of your daily earnings to P.O. Box 6969, Chicago, Illinois. What's your zip code?
I don't know.
03243. I don't know. I just made that up.
60606.
90210. There you go. Just send it to that.
Yeah, there you go.
In care of Nexium Incorporated. Thanks. Thanks for your service.
Like my wife and I were sitting there watching a documentary on cult, specifically Nexium.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 2020 special. And they were walking through that, and honest to God, three-fourths of the way through, my wife looks at me in all seriousness and was like, how does anyone believe in a cult? What the hell's going on with them? And then I sort of broke it down, and I was like, not that I believe in that type of crap, but it's like, well, if you had this mindset, and, you know, somebody was telling you XYZ, and it all sounded really good, and you wanted to have a positive outlook on life, and you thought that the majority of people and society had a negative outlook on life. Wouldn't you want to lean towards that a little bit and start believing in that a little bit? And I'm like, it just sort of creeps in.
Yep.
Like, trust me, all the way through like high school, I didn't like jazz, and then all of a sudden I started to listen to it. And then listen to it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little, and then all of a sudden it became my number one form of music. So, like, stuff like that happens. You don't mean it to happen, but it just happens.
Well, you know what's so crazy is, like, how, like, smart and advanced people think they are, right? And I know there's plenty of stupid people, so before anybody says anything, there are plenty of dummies.
You're talking to one. Hello.
But a lot of people that, like, fall into cult mentality aren't stupid people.
No.
Right? Like, they're really smart, eloquent people.
Right.
And they just maybe happen to be in a place in their life where they need some kind of meaning. And here
they
comes whatever. You know, L. Ron Hubbard comes along and says, hey, Xenu exploded people millions of years ago in a volcano, and that's why you're here. And you're like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, interviews with Leah Remini.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, like, when she goes into detail about some of these tests they have to get to the next level, it is the most insane shit ever, right?
great.
Like, you hear it and you're like, wait, like, all right, I want aliens to be real, but this is some bullshit right here.
And how much am I paying for these tests? What the hell? And now I get to wear a red band. Now I'm a blue band. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But see, as smart as people think they are, we're really fucking stupid, man. We still have, I mean, I don't want to demean apes, so, you know, PETA, don't email me. But like, we're...
Are you saying we're a descendant from apes and not yes. Adam's rib? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
How dare you? Don't you dare bring this false science into this place.
yes. We, yes, the rib. That makes perfect sense too.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, L. Ron Hubbard and yep. Job.
Zeno exploded a bunch of ribs in a volcano, and that's how people came to be.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're lost and you're wandering mm-hmm. spiritually, there's plenty of times where, you know, you feel a little, you had a desire and a want for, you know, some form of spirituality / support in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Perfect timing. Guess who can find those people that are a little bit lost and approach them with whatever type of pamphlets and books at airports and other public locations.
Mm-hmm.
Like that stuff just happens. Like I can totally see it.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. People need to find meaning in things and people need community, right? I mean, that was one of the things that, my mom and I talked about. Not so much my dad, because my dad, he's gotten a lot softer in his older age. But when I quit going to church, like, he wouldn't even talk to me for weeks.
Right. Yeah. You told me that.
Yeah. So it was my mom that I had to talk to, right? And mm-hmm. like, even mm-hmm. she told me, right? Like, the community, like, that's the most important thing, right? Like, having people around you that share similar beliefs and you can have decent conversations with. That's important to a lot of people, and that's fine. I mean, like, we do that, right? We get on Discord and we BS about God knows what garbage. Good thing it's not a public channel. But we're not a cult.
Still,
I mean, we could be.
It's a judgment-free zone. When we talk, it's like, I'm not judging you. I want to have a discourse, and guess what? If I don't believe in what you're believing in, well, let's talk about that.
Sure.
But we're not judging each other, you know, and I think a lot of people, that's what they're searching for.
Well, you know, I think.
And you might not get it in your regular social circle.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people are just afraid of saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Yeah. So you want to find people you can say the wrong thing to, and they'd be like, yeah, that's the right thing. And you're like, okay, good. Now I don't feel like I'm a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's why you got to be like us, Nick. Because, I mean, I say the dumbest crap on this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adam and L. Ron Hubbard know. I say some dumb stuff on here. But I don't care.
And it's recorded.
It is. It's on record.
Our dumb stuff isn't just said in the Slack channel. Our stuff is, like, out there. You can go back and listen to it. That's just dumb. Uh-huh. What are we doing?
Look, you know, when I was growing up, my parents always told me, if you have something to say to somebody, you say it to their face. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
If you feel like you really don't like somebody, then you should just tell them. Because if you hold it in, then that just breeds, like, more negative emotions, right? Like, if you feel like you can't say something because it's just awful, then you're going to have more awful thoughts. And
Sure. Maybe
that doesn't work in every respect because there's a lot of people saying very awful things all the time. But that's because, I mean, they can hide behind whatever, like a Twitter hashtag or whatever, a Twitter name.
Right.
I mean, I don't need to hide in mine. Everyone knows my name. You can Google me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm on there. It'll take you to this, the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore.
Co-starring Nick Wetmore. Hello.
Wait, you're starring and co-starring? Jeez, talk about pretentious.
Not starring. I take second billing happily.
I don't know. I've joked with my wife all the time. We should start a cult. You know how much money they make?
You know how much of a tax write-off we'd get? Oh, it'd be the best.
Dude, I've seen the houses the cult leaders have. They are sweet.
I want to drive around in a sweet Cadillac.
Mm-hmm. There was God, I wish I remember the name of the podcast. There was a podcast that came out last year, and it followed a cult. But they don't call themselves a cult. It's run by this woman. She's like 30, and she started doing like videos on YouTube about like suicide prevention. And somehow or other, like through these videos, became like a self-help guru. And now she owns like a 1,000-acre estate in like Costa Rica or something. Wow. So like she has retreats in Costa Rica all the time for her self-help group. And she does, you know, like conventions around the world or whatever. But there's like people that just drop everything they're doing to go live with this woman and just like be part of the program. And they're all like very effed up people, right? With like severe mental issues or like recovering drug addicts and things like that. That kind of thing you gotta just watch out for. You know what I mean?
Sounds like that, documentary that we both saw that, what is it? Wild Life?
Wild Country.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I read some things about that documentary that were interesting. Because they didn't really paint the cult in a good light, and I don't expect them to, right? I mean, it's for entertainment, and it's more entertaining to talk smack about them than anything else. But I've read some interviews with like actual followers and like seen videos of them, even like years after that whole thing happened, and them talking about this guy, and then like journalists talking about this guy, or like people that met him that weren't part of the cult. And I mean, he was a pretty interesting guy. You know, and maybe at like the core belief, wasn't all that crazy. But you know, like anything else, there's always people that take things to the extreme.
For sure.
Right? Like with that one, I wonder if that woman wasn't there, I wonder if like any of that shit would have happened.
Yeah, would they have just moved their whole facilities to Hollywood since he was in with the Hollywood crowd? Who the hell knows?
Yep.
Pass it.
He could have been L. Ron Hubbard part deux.
Very true.
Oh, that could be the episode title, and then we can get Scientology hatred. I'll have Scientology guards outside my house.
No, thank you. We have to find a different title.
Okay, fine. I will not do that. Thank you. I watched a semi-interesting film. I don't know if you've heard of it. It is called Bushwick. It stars... It's on Netflix.
Okay, Netflix. Okay, all right, go on.
It's on Netflix. It stars Dave Bautista. Brittany Snow.
What?
Yes.
The hell? Okay.
Yes. And it's very odd. So as it starts off, Brittany Snow is with her boyfriend who he looks familiar, but I don't know where I know him from. And they're riding the subway in New York on their way to Brooklyn. Okay. Bushwick, Brooklyn. To visit her grandma, right? Like they're home from college or whatever. They're grad students.
Okay. So this has nothing to do with the Ghetto Boys.
No.
Okay.
No. I wish. That would have been awesome.
Wasn't it Bushwick Bill?
Was it? You might be right.
Wasn't that?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. I don't know. Go on.
So like they pull up to the station and there's like nobody at the train station. And there's like announcements over the loudspeaker. They're like, what the hell's going on? So they like go up the stairs and they enter them. I don't know if you've ever seen like a New York train station, but like you go down the stairs and there's like the main station where you pay your toll. And then like you go even further down to get to the tracks. So they get to that section and there's like nobody there either, right? Like not even anybody operating the booth. And they're like, what the hell's going on? And they hear a scream and they start to go to look. And this dude is like on fire walking down the stairs. And, they're like, what the hell's happening? So they go up the stairs to try to look and there's like crap blowing up and whatever. And the boyfriend tries to go see what's happening and he gets blown up. And so now she has to get to grandma's house and shit goes downhill from there.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, so apparently there's like an invasion in Brooklyn, like a military invasion in Brooklyn. And so there's like Brooklyn people fighting these like armed soldiers. And she's trying to get to grandma's house. And then along the way, she meets Dave Bautista, who is a janitor at this building.
Of course he is.
Well, and he obviously has a very severe case of PTSD. So you learn like his story, right? Because he was in the military and blah, blah, blah. So the whole movie is them basically going from like building to building, trying to get people, like first the grandma and then her sister. And then they find that there's like a DMZ, so they have to get to the DMZ. And along the way, they meet like a gang that's kind of organizing an uprising against this invasion. It was really weird. There's a lot wrong with the movie. But I thought the concept was pretty interesting. And, not terrible acting, I gotta say.
Interesting.
Yeah. Bushwick on Netflix. It's pretty good.
Very good.
It's pretty good.
Very good.
I
What
hated the ending.
attracted you to it?
It
What
was
attracted you
recommended to
to
me
it?
by Netflix.
Oh, okay. So their algorithm was like, you are going to enjoy this one. Get in
Yeah.
there, Martin.
And I was like, "Eh, Dave Bautista, I don't know about that." But then I was like, "I really liked him oh God, Blade Runner 2049."
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good in that. Not so much in what's the other movie he does? Guardians of the Galaxy. He was all right in that. Why does
He's
Netflix
okay.
just autoplay stuff? Don't autoplay stuff. God, that's so annoying. So yes, I watched that, and it was pretty good. I've got Logan's Run queued up. I don't know if you know that Logan's Run's on Netflix now.
The original?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yes, that's what I said.
Wow.
So I've got that queued up next to watch.
That's a blast from the past.
Isn't it?
Hell yeah.
It's a good movie, I think. I remember it being a good movie. We'll see.
Yeah, let me know how the soundtrack is. I remember that being good.
Yeah. And Zoe and I watched Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, how was that?
It's really good.
Yeah, I've heard great things
It
about
is
it.
really good. It is not at all like the show. Where in the
Sure.
world is Carmen Sandiego? Matter of fact, I was like, she's like, "Hey, we should watch Carmen Sandiego." And I was like, "Oh, I used to watch that when I was a kid." And so I explained it to her and she's like, "All right, we should watch it." And so I found an episode of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. And she's like, "This is boring. We should watch the Netflix one." And, but it's really interesting the way they've done it. I mean, they still have the elements, right? So Vile is still there and the chief and the, like, geography lessons. Like interspersed throughout all the episodes,
Nice.
so that's really well done. Carmen's still there; she's a lot younger,
Sure.
and she's really the good guy in the show. And I like the backstory that they've given her. It's very well done. There's a lot of recognizable characters and like elements to the original show, but I mean, it's a spy thriller, an animated spy thriller for. I mean, it's for kids, but I love the shit out of it. So I mean, I'm gonna say it's all audiences.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really good. I think we watched six episodes of it.
So that was on autoplay, and Zoe was loving it.
Oh, I was loving it too. That's why it was on autoplay.
Nice.
Yeah, you gotta check it out whenever you get some time. I know it's for kids. I know, I get it. Listen, just fucking watch it. Really good.
Cool.
And oh God, what was the other one that I watched? Damn it, now I gotta find it. Is there a way to find what I recently watched?
Yeah, isn't there, would you like to watch? Or continue to watch? Isn't that all of the stuff that you finished or was halfway through?
Yeah, but continue to watch doesn't, it won't show up on there if you got to the credits.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Dang it. What's the, oh, I watched Solo. That's what it was.
Oh.
I finally watched Solo, A Star Wars Story.
I still haven't seen it. How was it?
It was not bad. It
Okay.
was, at least 3.25 times better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But I mean, I thought it was gonna be absolute garbage, so maybe that doesn't say anything. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. There's
So it was a perfect seven.
I mean, if I had to rate it, I might give it like a 3 out of 5. Yeah, which is fine, right? I mean, I liked it.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think I would rewatch it.
Yeah, it had laser swords. What else do you want to know?
Yeah, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Good.
There was some cool stuff in there, some stuff that I was like, okay, like, you don't need to put this in here. Lando was fine, you know?
True.
I liked how Solo met Chewie. That was kind of cool.
Ah, spoiler.
Yes, spoiler to a 45-year-old origin story. But yeah, there was a cool character that I liked that I don't remember seeing it in other Star Wars movies, but maybe she was. I don't know. She shows up towards the end, and
Okay.
I like that.
Well, let me ask you, would it be better if I watched for the first time solo that took 3 hours to get through, I'm guessing? Or should I, for the first time, read some Star Wars comics for 3 hours?
Depends. What kind of Star Wars comics? Like Dark Horse comics?
Yes.
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
Do that. I like those. I like those.
I have both.
I was reading some of the new Marvel ones, mm-hmm. and they were fine. I just, it's just not clicking with me.
The Jason Aaron ones weren't bad.
Yeah, those are fine. I mean, like, they're all, don't get me wrong, they're all good. Like, the Star Wars proper's good, the Darth Vader one was good. I don't know, they've done like 50 million by now. They're good. Don't get me wrong. They're just, if I want to sit down and read comics, I'm like, oh yeah, let me go read fucking Star Wars.
Right.
But like, if you throw a stack of like Dark Horse Star Wars comics at me, I might be like, yeah, I'll read those right now.
Sure. And don't come after him, Star Wars fans.
Yeah, don't at me, okay? I don't give a crap. So, I feel like those are better. The Dark Horse one. They just felt like, I mean, I don't want to say darker, because it's Star Wars, it's not dark. But they just felt maybe more mature, I guess?
They weren't Disney-fied?
Yeah, there you go. Maybe that's, yeah, F you, Disney.
Yeah, and they had some good people on them, mm-hmm. so.
See, now we're never going to get acquired by Disney.
No, Mickey Mouse, we still love you.
I've never liked Mickey Mouse.
Don't say that. Oh, dude.
The only time I've somewhat liked Mickey Mouse was Fantasia.
That was it?
Yeah.
Jeez. Holy cow. Or was that because of the classical music, the soundtrack?
Yeah, I think it was the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And just because it was so fantastical too.
The only thing people remember of that 2 hour Fantasia is the very, like, isn't it the very end where they have, like, the heaven and hell characters that are in, like, shadows? You remember that, and then you remember the Magician's Apprentice.
Yep.
That's about it. All the brooms. That's about it.
Well, and, you know, I worked myself
two
up.
2 hours.
I worked myself up for that movie because I don't remember if it was the original release or they ended up re-releasing it. But I mean, I was young. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And I never got to see it in theaters.
Sure.
Right? Like, I wanted to see it in theaters, but both my parents were working two jobs, and I just, they didn't have time to take me. So I never saw it. So I had it in my mind for like years until I saw it. Like, I need to see Fantasia. It looks so awesome. So I don't know if maybe that worked me up more to enjoying the movie than the actual experience of seeing it. Because I've never rewatched it. Like, the last time I saw it, I must have been like, I don't know, 10 or 11 maybe.
Sure. I saw it in high school when they reissued it on the big screen, just because I'm like, I grew up on Disney, going to the theater to see Disney films. So then as a high school kid, I was like, it's going to look pretty cool on the big screen. I got to go see that. And the music was good, but then you forget about like all the dancing hippos and tutus, all like, oh my God, some of that stuff just went on and on for the longest of time.
Whew. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right.
I know what you mean. So, anyways. Let me throw something at you here.
Sure.
Because I've been curious. And I thought about doing an episode on my other show about it, but I haven't decided yet.
Uh-oh.
So have you heard about this rumor about Robert Pattinson taking over Batman?
I have.
give me some thoughts on this.
I'm not the Batman guy. I don't care who takes over what. Well, as you can tell.
I know you're not the Batman guy, but like, it's a movie that you would watch, right? And you're familiar with Batman. So I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Buddy, I've been through three Spider-Men on the big screen, and that's my go-to guy. And I loved them all, so I'm not the person to ask.
So let me give you just some basic thoughts. Because I see a lot of people are like, I will quit, like, I will not watch this movie, I will quit, blah, blah, blah. And
are you quoting from Ben Affleck, it cannot play Batman, blah, blah, blah?
Well, yes.
The same uproar came with Ben Affleck as well.
Well, so I started thinking about it, and I'm like, well, shit. Like, it's always been that way. When, yes. What's the Batman I don't like? What's his name?
The Christopher Nolan Batman?
You shut your mouth. That's the best one. No, the 89 Batman.
The television Batman?
Oh my god.
What?
You know, the little short guy. What's his name?
Danny DeVito.
No.
He played the Penguin.
He was the Penguin.
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer was not very good.
George Clooney.
And not very good either.
I know.
The worst.
Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, that was the best one.
Hold on.
That's the best one.
Well, for me, it's number one. For you, it was not even on your top three list. So
that's not true.
When I asked you, it wasn't.
Wasn't it number two?
Nope.
I'm pretty sure Kevin Conroy was number two.
It wasn't on the list until I said Kevin Conroy. And then you're like, oh, I thought you were only talking movies.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough.
No. Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh,
let's
my
go back
God.
Is he the one that's going to be in it? Is that in now a musical? What the hell is going on here?
I hate you so much right now.
See, I would never name Michael Keaton before Val, and I love me some Val Kilmer, but Val Kilmer and George Clooney, oh, oofa.
Yeah, oofa is right. Michael Keaton, thank you for your kind input.
Yes. But Robert Patterson, what's his name?
Pattinson.
Robert Patrick Pattinson.
Pattinson.
Let's just wait, guys. God, you have to pump the brakes over here. What the?
So I was very young when Batman 89 came out, so I don't remember any of this.
Mm-hmm.
But there were like death letters sent to Warner Brothers when they cast Michael Keaton, because he was a comedian and he was a little short guy, and everyone was like, "How dare you?" And then, you know, I mean, aside from myself, I would say the majority of people feel that's the best Batman.
Yeah.
And I mean, I saw some pictures of Pattinson photoshopped as Batman. It looked pretty damn good. And, I mean, I know everyone's like, oh, the Twilight guy, Batman's going to be sparkly, and don't be a fucking idiot. Like, that's not what that means.
There's nothing wrong with a sparkly Batman.
Look, Batman can be, look, have you read the comics? He's emo, so he can be sparkly.
Yeah, why not?
But yeah, you know, it was the same thing with, when they put Heath Ledger as a Joker. Oh my god, he's terrible as a Joker. How dare you? And he was the best fucking Joker. You shut your mouth. You can at me on that.
Second best Joker, but yes.
Who's the first best?
Mark Hamill.
Oh, you're right. God damn, see? I just keep thinking about the movies and not the animated stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
But I talked about him, because remember I talked about that trailer? He's got some new movie coming out, Pattinson. And I thought the trailer looked really good, and he looks like his role in it looks fucking awesome. What is it called? Let me pull it up. Is it High Life? That's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
And then he just did a movie with his brother was like, he had like autism or something in the film. Some indie movie. It was freaking awesome. Like, you would love that movie. I'll gotta find the name of that one. Cause I can't remember the name of it. But, like, it was really good. When I saw it, I was like, is this the same guy from Twilight? Like, this is really good. So all I'm saying is, just let the dude, I mean, if he's gonna do it, then just fucking wait till he comes out.
You know, you can't pigeonhole people just over one role.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I try not to.
Yep.
Like, look, have you seen the trailer for the new Daniel Radcliffe TV show that's coming to TBS?
Maybe. Which one's that?
Where he's an angel and Steve Buscemi's God.
Yes.
Dude, come on. Harry Potter, way to go. Swing for the fences. At first, I'm like making a lot of like smart choices, doing like the Joe Hill horns and stuff like that. They might not all be home runs, but at least he definitely knows, hey, I can be pigeonholed, so I'm going to be doing XYZ to change that up.
Uh-huh.
And it looks good.
Uh-huh.
So why can't Robert do this?
It's funny that you brought Radcliffe up, because the rumor is that he's going to be taking over Wolverine.
Good. I don't care.
I don't care either.
Hey, we know Captain America and Robert Downey Jr., both of them are done. Yep. So, and how many? I've been screaming for years that they have to like start freshening up and youngerfying the Marvel films. All these people are way too old.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I love me some Hugh Jackman, but hey, guess what? Let's put a younger female in that role. Go.
Man, I hope they do Ironheart in on the movies to replace Iron Man.
Ooh,
I know you're not current on the comics, but the new Ironheart comic's really good.
Is that with Riri?
Yeah, Riri Williams.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Who writes that? Is that Kelly Thompson? Let me look it up. I just feel like every time somebody writes a book that I like, it's Kelly Thompson. But I'm probably wrong. Oh, Eve Ewing is writing that. Okay. Yeah, that's really
Eve
good.
Ewing?
Yeah, Eve Ewing.
Not Al.
Is she related Ewing? To Al Ewing? I don't know.
I don't know. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about? Is it too soon to tell, or you just don't care? Let's see where this goes.
Dude, somebody photoshopped this picture of him as Batman to make fun of him, and I thought it looked fucking great, so.
See, I'm more concerned when I hear who's directing and writing and what that script is going to be based on. That's the stuff that starts worrying me.
Mm.
That's where my feathers go up a little bit.
Yeah, to be honest, when they started doing the whole back and forth with, is Ben Affleck coming back? Is he not coming back? He is! Just kidding, he's not. I lost interest.
Yeah, and that's a shame because both of us were loving Ben Affleck, but.
Yep.
For whatever reason, put the kibosh on him taking over whatever reins he wanted to take over.
Yep. So,
like, are you saying Ben Affleck can't direct a film? Let me point you in the direction of his Oscar nominated film.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
And well, that's another one too. I mean, you remember Reindeer Games? He was in fucking Reindeer Games, dude.
Yeah.
Like, everyone makes mistakes and makes crappy films.
Hey, you know, that Daredevil film might not have been the best, but, you know, for the time, it wasn't that bad.
Look, hashtag unpopular opinions, I like Daredevil.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Right.
Was it the comics? No. Was it great? No. But it was fun.
But also, did he have as much power as he does right now?
No.
No.
Nope. Not at all. So, yeah, whatever. All I want to say about The Batman, or whatever they're going to name it, is when the trailer comes out, I'll watch it. Until then, just leave me alone. I don't care.
As long as we don't get an origin story again.
They wouldn't do that, would they? There's no way they would do that.
I don't know.
There's no way. I mean, they're not doing it with Spider-Man anymore, because they finally learned their damn lesson.
Thank God. Or you learn to throw it in at the beginning credits, which is fantastic.
Oh, there you go. Oh, dude, like Into the Spider-Verse? God, that was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I don't care. I told Ronnie and Aaron about that new... They want to do a movie about the trench because Aquaman did so well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, wow. What do you guys think? And they're like, eh, don't care. I was like, really?
Wow.
You guys fucking love the trench.
Well, Ronnie doesn't like Jeff Johns yet.
That's true. But he'll come around when Shazam comes out.
I hope so.
He will. I promise. Which, that's soon, isn't it?
I think so.
3 or 4 weeks.
I just showed my wife that the last trailer. And she was like, I don't even know what was happening. What? And she just had no interest.
Well, I tell you that this weekend I will be going to see Alita Battle Angel.
Ooh, okay.
I'm very excited for that. I loved the manga and the anime, so I will be watching that.
My wife is actually interested in that.
Is she? Really?
Bring on Mr. Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's a good draw.
Except the problem is she did want to walk out of Sin City when she went with me to that, so...
My only concern with Battle Angel is the CG.
Yeah.
What's
wrong with the CG?
It looks like the CG in Ready Player One.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I know that it's like the most high tech CG that we have. I get that. It doesn't look good. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about I'm not talking about Alita herself. Like she looks a little weird because she's got the giant eyes, right?
I love the giant eyes. So, it's such a cool style.
Well, it gives you that Uncanny Valley thing.
Yeah. It's cool.
It is cool. Like I said, I don't mind her. But, like, the rest of the characters, I'm just like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, the half mech dudes that...
For example, yes. Know. Yes.
Yeah. But I'm not going to judge, because, hey, if you come back and say it's a great film and there wasn't too much violence, great. I'm taking the wife. If you say just the opposite, then I'll be going by myself or with Tom.
Yeah. We'll see. I gotta think about it. You know what? I wonder if I can just, maybe I can drive out to Tennessee to watch it, and I'll go with Julian. That would be interesting.
You know he's gonna go see that.
Oh yeah. Well, and he always hates on all the remakes of the, you know, like anime stuff.
Right.
Which, I mean, I didn't mind. I like Ghost in the Shell, so whatever.
But it would be fun to see it, like in 3D IMAX with him. That'd be fun.
I don't know about 3D, but IMAX, yeah. I think that would look great in IMAX.
Hey, I said no to Into the Spider-Verse in 3D, and I wish I would have saw it. Mm. They were doing some cool foreground, background mix and match.
Yeah. Hmm.
Just let me know if you go on that road trip.
If they re-release that, I might watch it in 3D. I actually enjoyed it not in 3D, so. Yeah, we'll see. I'll let you know Alita Battle Angel. I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, please do.
I'll let you know how that goes. And I also finished season 2 of Castlevania. That was great. You should watch that.
Oh, cool.
Yep. That Warren Ellis, man.
Woo! Did he write season 2?
Yeah.
As well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. He's got like a long-term contract now with them.
God, no wonder he's not writing any comic books anymore.
Listen, he's writing The Wildstorm. He's got a new comic out, Cemetery Beach.
Okay, all right, two.
What else is he doing? He's doing something else. Oh, shit. Trees. Trees.
Oh, please, come on.
Trees is coming back!
Sure. is The Wildstorm even coming out every month? It feels like that thing should have already wrapped up.
It is. They took a 2-month break in between arcs. But it came back last month.
Gotcha.
Yep. And it was awesome.
Hey, I can't blame any creator to be like, let's head over to Netflix.
Look, here's the thing. Do you want to get paid? I mean, what do writers get paid? I don't fucking know. We'll say like a couple grand per issue. Okay, that probably seems fair. Hey, Warren Ellis, why don't you write another comic and get paid $2,000 a month for this comic? Or here, write Castlevania and I'll give you like $1 million. Yeah, I'll go fucking write Castlevania.
Yeah, I can't blame any artists for going and doing storyboards for Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why the hell not?
Mm-hmm.
Guy Davis, I miss you, but hey, I can't blame you.
Yeah. Yep. And sometimes perfection takes time. You know what I mean? Like a doomsday clock. You know, sure, it takes 6 months to have an issue come out. Who cares? They're fantastic when they come out.
True. That's why I haven't read the button yet. I keep waiting. Like, I have to be patient. I can't read this.
I hear you.
But I so want to. But I can't.
The follow-up to that is coming out.
Okay.
I don't know if that started last week or if it starts this week.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Come on, man. You got to read the button.
I know, but doesn't that flow right into Doomsday Clock?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, not really.
Doomsday Clock to be wrapped up.
Doomsday Clock doesn't follow into Doomsday Clock, so.
You know what was awesome?
Mm.
Reading Secret Wars in one read.
Mm.
You know what wasn't awesome? All the people that waited month to month, delay, month to month, delay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, we're adding another issue or two.
Yeah. But first we're going to take 4 months off before releasing the next issue.
Yep.
Hope you can keep everything straight.
Or the worst part.
I just read it all straight. It was great.
Or the worst part is all the new books that come out of it.
Yep.
And then the story's not finished. And you're like, what?
They wrap up. Yep. They wrap up their little like 2-issue series or 4-issue series way before the end of the actual arc.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll wait. I can wait. You know what? Doomsday Clock will be there. It'll be waiting for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Nothing wrong with that.
I tell you. All right, Nick. I think it's time we wrap up.
All right.
Thank you all for listening to the least pretentious podcast of the Nerdy Legion podcast. with Nick Webmore. Children, I hope you're in bed by now. I hope you're not listening to this way too late. But if you are, let us know if you're listening past your bedtime. You can find Nick at Nick Webmore on Twitter. I'm at Geekbine, and the show is at Nerd Legion. Also the network, because why would I create a second Nerd Legion account? That makes sense. And that's it. We'll be back next time. How about that? We'll come back next week. Bye-bye.